subject matter in the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. This is the Notes from the Pen podcast. And I have my favorite co-host that is non-genetically related to me at the ironing board studio in an undisclosed location with an undisclosed official name. I have the enigmatic, always present, available, and willing to do whatever, Jay Dizzo.
What up, everybody? Holla.
You know what they don't know is that you're currently ironing slacks. Not for yourself, but as part of all your employees. They turn their laundry in.
Yep, they are. It's a uniform. I'm running a silent uniform company out of my bedroom right now. And yes, I'm ironing a bunch of dickies with extra starch because I like people to look
at. And you're so good. Yep. You're putting the creases in them. You're folding the cuffs up.
If everybody were to look in my room right now, there's just pants standing up on their own. Because that's how stretchy they are.
There was a phase of my life when I was like really convinced I was a West Coast gangbanger. Right? Like I was like,
let's talk about your famous stick and poke tattoo that you thankfully it wore out.
No, we don't need to cover that. That was later. That was when I started to get into my Southern. I'm talking about when I was like 13, 12, when I was like 12 or 13, long before, a good 3 years.
Did you wear the big bandana?
The bandana.
Eyebrows covered. Yeah. It's just low enough to where you can still peek through.
Or like, if I wore it at all, I would really just hang it out of my back pocket, knowing nothing about, like now I know about the color you use and the side you hang it.
What did you see that prompted this? Like this new fashion era that you went through, did you see blood in, blood out or something like that? And you were like, that's it. I got it.
No, you're thinking more Latino. No, I was into, the first music I ever got into was rap, was hip hop music.
Yeah, sure.
And it started back with like,
Rest of Us.
Not that old. It started with, another ABC, Another Bad Creation. I remember Mama C putting me on when MC Hammer first came out. I can't touch this. Really? She was like, "Oh, there's this new. I think you'll like it." I remember her playing it for me, when it was on the radio.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, super.
That is
super cool. She had me. So when kids were, we might have said this before, but when kids were wearing like tight Daisy Duke shorts. And I went from I moved. So instead of our elementary schools went through sixth grade where I'm from, I moved to a whole different region. So not only was I like graduating to go to junior high school, but it was also in a region where I knew no one. Right.
Right.
And this is in this must have been 1990, 1991, probably. Kids were still wearing like tight shorts and like short shorts and stuff. And, Mama C was on the cutting edge, and she bought me a full Hugo Boss outfit for my first day of school.
What?
And they were baggier short.
What?
Yeah, matching, like, she was dope. But they were baggy shorts, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And Mama C was like, trust me, this is, like, the new thing. Like, I've been watching. She literally said, like, I've been watching rap videos.
I watch BET. I know what's up.
This is what's going on, so just, and, I was still like the only one dressed like that. There was actually this kid, Ivan. There was this Puerto Rican kid named Ivan, who now that I know about colors and stuff, his dad must have been a Latin king because of the colors he was wearing and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He would wear like yellow bandanas and stuff like that.
Okay.
And he was a little short, ambiguously ethnic. Well, he was clearly Puerto Rican. But so we were two like little brown skinned kids with like, he was dressed, he like knew what was up. And he would say words like,
Matt Hard. He was like, you Red Man on the cover of Red Man's new tape. He was fucking, he's all in the electric chair looking Matt Hard. And I was like, sweet.
Then meanwhile, you're like, cool. Wait, why are you looking at his package?
Dude, yeah, that wasn't even a thing back then.
No, I know. I forget. I remember, shit, what was the word from California? My buddy, his mom got remarried, and the dude had a son from Chico, California. And I'm trying to remember some of the stuff that he was talking about. And we were like, what did you just say? Like, that's funny how words like that, like Mad Heart and like bet. I think that was the first time I heard somebody say bet, like as okay. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look, we're going to the store, bet. And we were like, what? Like,
people still say that.
Are you coming with? No, I know, but that was like the first time I remember in like junior high being like, are you coming with us? He's like, bet. And we're like, is that okay? You know what I mean?
So the West Coast shit came in like ninth grade. A couple years later, I met this half Korean kid from the Bay Area named Justin Lewis. And he had an older brother that was like straight Asian gangbanger. I think he was a Crip. Yeah, I'm almost positive he was a Crip. So we rode the bus together, and he taught me a bunch of, like, now Justin Lewis has never got a B in his life. A statuesque half Korean man, mm-hmm. like an inch taller than me even, which I didn't like, and was on varsity baseball. Just, he's probably running, like, he wanted to do sports medicine. He's probably, like, working with LeBron somewhere right now.
Wow.
But he would show me, like, gang signs in the back of a bus, okay. like how to throw up, like, Crip Killer, and how to throw up, like, the two-handed, like, blood shit and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, meanwhile, like, and he also introduced me to all that Bay Area Oakland rap, which is where, you know, Tupac's originally from New York, but he got his start out in Oakland in the Bay Area. So, yeah, so all the Bay Area rappers, like, Too Short,
E-40 and the Click. Word? Why you got to say it like short?
Yeah.
Yeah, blow the
so way. I was like crease dickies, creased like starched folded bandana in my back pocket, like straight perp, and like just false black it to like the nth degree. Didn't even know really, right? I knew not to pick like red or blue, right? So I had black, but you know, there's organizations that use that too. But I was just, thank God I was in Florida and not. Like, I would have got, like, fucking kidnapped or somewhere else. But you couldn't tell me shit. That's probably why people thought I was Mexican and stuff, because I'd be full dickied out. I'm talking 13, 14 years old. 13 for short. Okay. Full dickies outfit.
Yep.
Right? I'd have mom take me to Walmart, and I'd get the full khaki-colored ones, the blue ones. And eventually, you could even order colored ones, and I had a maroon set of dickies. But I would be Chuck Taylor's. Yeah. I was like Snoop Dogg, just back in, I like, and I even would have my mom braid my hair, right?
Okay.
Like wet, braid it.
Yeah.
All night, and then I'd get out in the morning on the bus, and like pick it out, and be like a fro. And
look like Bone Thugs Harmony.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, there's a cover of their second album, and they're all standing there in dickies and like, you know. Plaid shirts and shit like that. But okay, so listen, we're getting sidetracked because what I really wanted to do, but this kind of like dovetails into what I wanted to talk about. And so I was just thinking about the evolution of our friendship.
Yeah.
And then also you being on the show and through all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Started as like a fan, like a fanboy.
Oh, thing. I totally was right? 100%. 100%.
I was good.
I didn't even
think I wanted to say it
anyway, because, like, you know, I found out about you on Stanhope, and I was just like, he's never going to write me back, but I'm going to write him, you know, just like, hey, I heard you on Stanhope, and it sounds like you're a pretty cool guy, and sounds like we share the same interest in music. And then just off to the ether, and then you fucking answered, and I was like, kids, this guy in prison.
How long, do you remember how long it took?
Oh, not long. You must have been bored.
Do you remember how?
Like 3 days, maybe. Let me see what this.
Well, I try to respond to everyone like at least once when they first write me.
Yeah.
And yeah, you were. If there's like So I read this book by Neil Simon? No, Neil Strauss. It's called The Game.
Neil Diamond.
He's like, Neil Gaiman, I was saying. He wrote like a bunch of fantasy books.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman.
Yeah,
he wrote a bunch of famous.
Sandman.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a nerd. So,
okay, back to Dog and
Hey, what the hell are they going to. What the hell were we talking about?
What do you mean?
I mean, I know we were talking about you.
Yeah, when I first read you.
You wrote me.
Fanboyed out.
I got back. Okay. This is what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. If they're, you know, they have books on how to, like, pick up women. If they have a book on how to, like, befriend somebody, like, you're pretty good at it. Because you went right for, like, the similarity in music.
Yep.
And that only works on certain people. If you're into obscure music, then that's, like, the quickest way. And we started talking about old hip-hop originally, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or was it punk music?
Both. Mm-hmm. Because you were talking about
Lord Clark, which is
like that was something that, because they were from what, Chicago, right?
Chicago, yeah, they're from Chicago.
Yeah, but they, for some reason, they just jumped right over Ohio and went straight to Florida, I guess. Because I had limited experience with Lawrence Arms, and I was talking to you, I think, about like Jawbreaker and then Social D, I think. But yeah, no, that was the first thing where I was just like, oh, like I kind of, it was almost like, I know this guy. Like, I already know this guy based just on, like, what he's talking about with music.
Yeah, I felt that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, there's, like, a common thing there. Mm-hmm. Because the punk world is, it's real broad, right? There's tons of different kinds of music. But if you name a certain, if you start naming certain bands in, like, the early 90s, there was only so many people that were into it. And you could pluck any one person out of any group regionally and drop them in another regional group at one of those shows, and they'd look similar. Oh, they'd have a similar sense of humor.
It was No Effects. We bought it, like, that was the first thing. It was No Effects, and it was just like, oh, if this dude's into No Effects, then I got it. Because, like you said, they weren't huge until, you know, whatever, like Warped Tour and all that shit, I guess. But, like, they were big for me, you know, in the early 90s. I mean,
They're like the, I'm sure it's different now with the way music's changed, but for a while they were the largest or the most selling independent bands and label, because they made Fat Records.
Fat Records,
And in a weird, like, synchronicity, the lead singer, what's his name?
With Doug.
Mike.
Fat Mike.
Fat Mike.
Yeah.
Fat Mike. So he created Fat Records, and he's super funny. Really irreverent.
Yes.
And
very.
Have you ever heard his coke? He did a whole album as like a coked out clown.
Really?
Cokey, like,
Yeah.
So in a way, so listen to this weird synchronicity. So Corey's baby mom, Jessica, I knew before I knew Corey even. She was in advanced art class with me, and she was like this cool, like, artsy skater chick.
Okay.
She could do like a kick flip. She was like the only girl we ever knew that could do a kick flip. Like Alyssa Steamer. Do you remember? Was that what her name was? Alyssa Steam.
Was she a
female? I believe skater? So. Yeah, she was like the first like professional female skater.
Okay.
Steamer, I think her name was. Probably butchering it. It's probably something just slightly. Alyssa. I think that's her name. But yeah, so she donated the No Effects one. I don't know if she's still running it. It's been a minute. I can't ever, with these, the way these phones are here, I can't keep up with people. I feel so shitty about it. I haven't talked to Kyle in like a month, two months. I've only talked. Yeah, it's just so hard, man. They close the art down every day. They did it again yesterday. They did it today. But it's just every day. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, they, an ambulance or anything going on, they close it down. So Jessica is like, hey, listen, I run these YouTube channels and I see you're doing something. I'd like to like offer one of them. There's like 1,000 subscribers. It's a No Effects channel.
Really?
Okay. Right? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And on the first episode we go to record to put on there, I'm talking to Doug and he brings up Fat Mike and he's like, yeah, I was just talking to him, blah, blah, blah. And he calls the motherfucker, which is, I bet, like, Corey's favorite band.
Okay.
And I think I got to talk to him about that, too, before he passed. He's like, yeah, let's call him, see if we can get him on. And he called Fat Mike, who I've seen 100 times. I've been in the crowd 100 times. Great stage banter, too. Shit talk. Yeah, so then I wind up on the phone with the Fat Mike's answering machine. Well, Doug, it's just so weird, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's kind of the thing we first like bonded on. That made me go like, oh, this guy.
Well, I was might, sending, like, and I was sending you lyrics for old songs that I really love that I thought, like,
super, super weird.
It is. It's very strange to me. Don't do that to somebody if you can help it.
Don't do it. Leave that part out of the book, the How to Make a Friend book. Do not send entire songs.
Listen, yeah. It was Chris Isaak's Wicked Game, and I thought it was important to share that with you.
Right. Well, I love this about you, by the way. So today's episode I really wanted to do about just...
What, you mean kiss your
just
ass?
Just how much I appreciate you.
No, I love you.
No, just how much I appreciate you and how much it is
amazing
you've done.
How far we have, this has come in such a short amount of time. It's one of those things where I think pretty early on I was just like, I've known this dude my whole life. Like, this is just my brother. I think it came along at a pretty pivotal point for both of us. As far as where we were in life, and it almost, we talked about that, I think, early on, that the universe kind of said, here, like, I got to put this person in your path.
And one of the things that happens as you get older is you get so focused on family that the friend thing kind of falls away. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about a lot about this on the show, and this is what the novel's about. This is what the screenplay, the movie I want to write is about, is that I had all these, especially if you're in the punk scene, right? Mm. You have all these weird, unique friendships and bonds that you think are normal. And then you get older and you go, oh, most people don't have friends like that, right, that you're that close. Mm. The same thing happened when I met Doug from the opposite direction, where I went, I know this guy. Especially when I read This Is Not Fame, like his book about just the shenanigans he's been in, and how I went, oh, I know this guy. He's just a little bit older, and, you know, we grew up in different places. But if, aside from all the extraneous stuff, if I'd grown up around him, we would have been good friends. And right, we have similar, like, really harsh sense of humors. We want to do ridiculous, weird stuff just to poke at the novelty of the world and to just make weird shit happen. And yeah, so yeah, we did. We met at a specific time, and, you know, we were like just kind of talking and going back and forth about that, just back and forth. I'm just on some like regular bro shit.
Yep.
And then we talked about this the other day, and then the captain spazzed out. I hope he's doing all right, by the way. I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah.
And then bailed, like left me with my dick in my hand. And you said the other day that your family was like, he's going to call you.
She's going to ask you to do it. And I was like, shut up. Like, no way. Because, again, just a fanboy out a little bit. But I remember the first time you had called me, and I came home and told the kids, and they were like, okay, cool, Dad. And I was like, no, you don't get it. Like, he's famous.
I remember.
And everything. Like,
I remember you telling me this, too. I remember that pretty vividly. And it's really weird to be on the other side of that. Yeah. You know, because I didn't. The same thing with people who are actually famous.
Yeah. Like, oh, come on, you are.
They don't know shit. But, you know, I talked to Stanhope about this before, not about you specifically, but about people who, just how you deal with people, because he's really good about writing people back. It might take a while, but writing people back, and I would talk about that. And, you know, he said, I was asking him how it feels to him. I said, I don't know, but a very small version of this, mm-hmm. but feels weird the whole time anyone sees me as something other than just like the asshole in the back of the classroom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, you don't ever, because I was basically observing to him. I said, it seems like unless you have a huge ego, which I clearly have a large ego, but unless you have like a genuinely narcissistic ego, I don't think you ever feel worthy of that type of like, sure, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, no one was saying that to me before. So it's clearly not just part of my personality. And he said, yeah, you don't ever feel like that. You have to remember though, too, to not just fully dismiss it because you're as famous to that person mm-hmm. as they think you are. You know what I mean? So he's like, I can walk down the mall and maybe only get noticed by like one or two people.
Right.
But to those people, I'm as famous as Johnny Depp in their life. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They live, if not more so, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it kind of helped me put it in like a healthy perspective to say, like, don't dismiss anyone who kind of like feels that way towards you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let it go to your head. Obviously, you should never actually feel like you deserve it. But also don't like dismiss a person in the way, because I felt like that about Doug when I met him. But quickly after talking to him, I was like, oh, yep, nope, I know this guy. We're like,
yep.
There's no weird dynamic, no pretension or nothing like that. I actually just talked to him the other day. It was really good.
Yeah, we kind of chatted about that a little bit. I'm glad that happened. And you said it was like whenever you do talk to him now, it's always he kind of gives you a little bit of shit because he's like, you know, where you been? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's the first thing he said to me. And he wants me to call more, but I don't, when I'm in a slump, I don't like calling people and bothering people, especially him, you know, I don't want, I'll just be a bummer on the phone. there's a dark, he has a darkness there too, that I think is pretty common. We share, you know, so, but forget about that schlub. That fucking
right?
has been.
No, but it's the other thing that's also, it took me a while to figure out how to navigate was always asking you how you're doing without remembering where you are, if that makes any sense. Because it's like, yeah, I know where you are, and so you're probably tired of people. Like, so what are you up to? Well, not a whole lot. You know,
just being in prison.
Just trying to do my bit here. And that took some navigating, I think, to where it's almost like I have to, or you forget about that and just try and have a normal conversation about everyday shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which yeah, is not always easy. You know, there's times when you're just like, I think it was what, was it the week before where you're just like, I'm done. Fuck this. Like, you know, I don't want to do anything. And then it turned into something which actually worked out, which is nice.
Yeah, this thing is certainly therapy. I think if I was listening, I might even think it was like a shtick where I was trying to make it feel like this was therapy. But it's all 100% real. It actually is like a therapeutic thing for me to be able to vent. Unfortunately, it's a very unique form of therapy that every person in here can't access. Though if they hear about the show, they immediately think they can do it. Like, I'm gonna start one.
I was gonna ask you about that. I thought about that the other day. How many people are like, I can do that?
They all think they can do it, and I go, good luck. Go ahead. Do you have the world's greatest mom that'll just do everything and I'll let you just fucking steal all her time and make her slave labor for you? Who's also capable of building websites and all this other stuff.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
And amazing friends that'll just, okay, for those of you that don't know, and I'm giving away too much information, you weren't exactly sitting around in your mom's basement with nothing else to do and you're like, yeah, I'll do a show with you. You have a ton of responsibilities. And the way that I kind of depend on you for things that I don't know if I'm worthy of. A lot of people in your life depend on you for things that maybe, I'm not going to say that part. I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm not worthy of, I really don't mean that about anyone else, but you are that type of person where you're very giving and compassionate and empathetic and generous. Mm-hmm. And so you become like this focal point, and we don't need to say specifics like I said, but you run a business, a very successful business with employees, and you have family and extended family, and you take care of a bunch of shit. You have property and you have all kinds of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hesitate when I asked you to, like, hey, help me with this podcast.
Yeah.
You're one of the only people I would trust to do it. And I want to, before you go to say, remember whatever it is you're about to say, but I would love if Mama C could find a clip of you early on where you were stumbling.
No. I was reading off of a paper.
You talked about this the other day. You were, like, fuck, incredibly nervous.
Go back. Please don't go back to, like, anything prior
mumbling
to, like, episode 100, because it's fucking garbage. So robotic. I was such a nerd. God damn.
Hey, and I remember being like, hey, just talk like we do normally, like on the phone. Like, don't forget about the thing. I will attempt to do this.
It was so cringy. Fuck, was that bad.
Oh, I love cringe. I love cringe. I know you do.
You're going to have like...
So what?
You're going to come out once, like one of these days, and it's just going to be a fucking mashup of all my bullshit. Like,
well, that's what Ray said. Ray said it'd be nice to go, to have Mama Steve go and like snag a bunch of like weird, like awkward moments.
Oh, yeah. Christ, just listen to like episode 70 to 100, every one of them.
I said, I don't, Mama C doesn't have time to search. No. Oh, look, I just found one. but yeah, what were you going to say? It sounded like you were going to say something.
Oh, listen, when you think about like having material goods or something like that, and you gave somebody something, I wouldn't give it away if I didn't have the ability to give it away. So this thing is just, I have the ability to do it. I'm going to do it. It's not a matter of making time or, you know, anything outside of just the show in and of itself. It's I tell your mom all the time, it's my honor to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of it, and I feel
like you're
part of the family. So, and I am lucky.
You're right. You're very lucky.
And I know Doug Stanhope by proxy.
You do, and you're going to know him directly as soon as we get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And I'm going to introduce you and I'm going to whisper in your ear, don't embarrass me, dude.
Don't worry. I'll just go sit in the corner.
Don't embarrass me. But let's talk about some of the other stuff you've done since
oh, this show's not about me. Come on.
Injecting yourself into my glorious life.
Affecting your life.
So you have supplied party favors. You have supplied by proxy party favors for New Year's parties.
I forgot about that.
Your library's
grown a little bit.
Yeah, I guess you bought. Anytime I need a book or a magazine, even if I fart and it sounds like a book title in the background, it'll show up on my. It'll show up, and I to the point where I have to tell you not like listen. Don't just send me these random, not that they're not great, I'm sure, but I literally have CEOs coming in like, hey, you got to send some of this shit out. Like, I don't.
You're building furniture out of books. You're like, look at this.
Absolutely. I'm lifting weights with books you sent, right?
Speaking of which, I'm going to send you the Iliad. You're like, I need a 12-pound kettlebell.
Infinite Jest. I have James Joyce in Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. And the two largest books, notoriously unreadable. I have them both still.
Aren't they, though? They're tough to read.
Notoriously unreadable. David Foster Wallace I like better than James Joyce was a prick. He was a fucking dickhead. He wrote sentences that were never meant to be understood, and he's just such a beautiful writer that you think you're meant to understand him.
This reminds me of that old Saturday Night Live skit with Al Franken. Is it Stuart Smalley? Was that the guy who played the character with the sweater over his shoulder? And that famous Michael Jackson episode where he'd make him look in the
mirror.
Michael Jordan. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Yeah. Al Franken. Al Franken, the final straw in the cancel culture, completely undeserving, retired, or resigned from his, was it Congress or Senate? I think
Senate.
Might have been the Senate.
Is he not now running for vice president?
He should have never resigned. Do you remember what it was? He had this is a comedian, a sketch comedy comedian, who could... Listen, first of all, if you're a sketch comedian and you're a man, and the greatest role male sketch comics play is pretending to be straight, right? Mm-hmm. So Al Franken is certainly no sexual predator, right? And there's a picture of him with like a female staffer that like fell asleep, and he has his hands like pretending. Not touching, like over her where her breasts are. She has her shirt on and everything. Yeah. And he's like smiling like, ha ha, like I'm going to grab your boobs. Clearly never does. The picture comes out and it's like at the height, the fever pitch of the Me Too movement. So he gets lumped in with for basically Jeffrey Epstein. He gets lumped in with Jeffrey Epstein, and fucking he resigns. I'm sorry, I'm an evil man, and it's like, God, come, okay, the pendulum is officially swung too far. Once Al Franken, Stuart Smalley is a fucking sexual predator. So, yeah, well, sit and look in the game mirror and tell yourself that people like you.
That's right.
People, you know people like you. So we're not done going over the list.
Oh.
You bought me paint
mm-hmm.
so I could learn to
so you could paint with acrylic. Of soap.
Mm-hmm. Two blocks of soap.
Right.
You subsidized some tennis shoes so I could walk.
Comfortably. Forgot about those.
By the way, I don't know if these are going to last.
They're Sykes, right?
I don't know if they're going to fuck.
Sykes.
They're Mikey Air Naxes. So you've come up to visit.
That's
and purchase me.
I definitely need to. Yeah, we need to schedule that. As soon as I get back, I'm going to work on that.
Oh, man, wasn't it? It was pulling teeth getting you to
you didn't even
fill
know.
Out a visitor's application.
You didn't even
know. No, I know that. I'm talking about the visitor application thing.
Talk about nerve-wracking, man. Flop sweat. Holy crap.
That was a genuine surprise. Did not expect to see you there. So also, when the prices started going up, by the way, prices are starting to come back down
out there.
Yep. I mean, that's what I hear. Gas is under $3 now, right?
Oh,
or around $3?
Here. Not in there. No, nothing.
Yeah, out there. No, don't be ridiculous.
It only goes one way in there.
My point is that if something went up 10% in the world, I think that's the company that does our store, took the opportunity to go, oh, we can price gouge these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. If shit went up 10% in the world, we're gonna crank it up 50% in here. And we're going to keep cranking it up every time something goes. But it vacillates there. It goes up and down, up and down. It mm-hmm. never goes down here. So in the midst of absurd inflation, a stagnant $50 a month limit with a buying power of now $25.
Pretty much,
And falling a Patreon subscription, you have made it to where I don't starve to death in here. Aww. And that's also the Patreon members that are out there helping us stuff.
For sure.
But it's changed the way I do my bit, and I'm as miserable as ever.
Yep.
But
it's
the case. I'm more comfortably miserable than I used to be, and a lot of that's because of you, bud. And I just wanted to give you some flowers and tell you I love you and appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And it's
I will
nice
continue to support your rock gardening and your spider farming.
They did a shakedown yesterday, right? And I go in there and like they're like they took some pins, blah 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 blah, right? And I go around. Now they took all my other rocks, but I have my rock golf rock. It's it's perfect size, weight. I'm literally
you still
like an
golf
autistic kid. Yeah, and everyone looks at me. They don't. They're like now a new people right in. They're like he doesn't bother anyone. He just kicks a rock around the basketball court, and people know.
I love it.
So I get back and I had it like stashed in. I have a locker caddy, you know, that someone made for me where it's got pockets in it when you open the locker door, and it was in there.
Okay.
And I get back and I'm trying to find out if they took anything, and I open my locker and it's sitting on the shelf. The golf rock. So they didn't take it, which is nice.
Wait a minute. Does that mean that they had to take it out of a pocket?
Yeah, they took it out of the
wow
thing, saw it.
Somebody
was probably like, what the hell is this? Got all my collectibles.
Okay.
And my cool little geodes and quartz and red and cool stuff. And that was my rock collecting era. I'll never get back into it.
That was like a week. That was crazy.
It was like a couple weeks, but it was enough. This is kind of what I do throughout life. This is my podcasting phase. You know what I mean?
As soon as I get out, I'm dropping him.
So
what's the fever pitch like inside? I mean, oh, go ahead.
Hold on. We're not done yet.
Ah.
So this is kind of the thing that made me be like, you know what? This motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about him on the show. So you helped me edit the book. The novel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember all the stuff I said this guy has to do. He takes care of all these people. He does all his share on this and all this stuff. I go, hey, Brick,
hey,
read this fucking book. Tell me, first of all, tell me what you think of it. Look out for conjunctions joining independent clauses.
David Banner.
Right? Mm. And and look at, but also read it for structure, but then also make these edits,
right,
and drop whatever else it is you're doing. Yeah. Like, fuck all those other people with your blood relations and all that stuff. You did the shit, right? And then afterwards, you say, hey, you goddamn narcissist. What about send Mama C help? So, because Mama C is, everyone knows how much she does.
Yeah.
Poor lady.
She does.
And you said, I was thinking about, what about sending her some flowers on your behalf? Which Mama C? All his idea.
No.
All his idea. So he says it to me, and I'm like, in a JP, I'm like, brilliant. And you said, there's this many characters. I said, I don't need that many characters. Yep. Blah, 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 write this. I think I told you, include whatever you want.
Mm.
And you said, I think it should just come from you. Like, yep. So she just, no. And I said, okay.
Yep.
And this is me not allowing that, by the way.
I didn't paste it.
So she gets these flowers, and she doesn't even tell me she gets them. I call Ray, and she says, Mama, see, your mom just texted me and said, like, thanks, she sent me a picture of flowers and shit, and like, what the hell is this? And I didn't even tell Ray about it, and I was like, no, that was JD. So my mom, I never ended up telling her, but she JP'd me and says, I got flowers. They're beautiful, and a message from you. Didn't tell me thank you, right? Even though I'm sure my name was on the thing. She said, I called Ray. She doesn't know anything about it, so it has to be JD. That's all she said. I neither confirmed nor denied.
Mm.
And I don't know, man. It just, I could never. There's no way I could, like.
So.
Have the practicality, the technical details, or like to really afford to do that like that on short notice for her and stuff. And you did it for me, and I appreciate it. I know she does too.
Not a problem, buddy. I had a really amazing example in my father. He was the guy.
What's that now?
What?
No, that word you said.
A beautiful example of my father.
That thing, the last word. What?
My father. I know.
German. Is that a German word?
Yes.
The Dutch word?
I'm sorry, bud.
Farther. You're saying farther.
Farther. Yeah. Papa.
Okay. So
he was the guy that, do you remember, and maybe in your school, they did it in our school, like around Valentine's Day or Sweetest Day, they would sell different colored carnations.
And it was never got one. I never got one.
Okay. But
yeah,
you know the sentiment. Well, my dad.
Yes, I do.
Was the guy that was like, here's the money. You buy every girl in your class a flower.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And I did. And I was so embarrassed because every girl, and I didn't have a big class. I graduated with around 45 people. So you're talking half.
Oh, I would have hated you if I didn't like you.
I know. But I did it, handed every girl out, and I did that every year of my high
school. Am I the girl in that scenario? Yes.
I get you the race. But no, it set me up for always trying to make sure to be thoughtful. And I'm not trying to blow smoke up my ass, but I never forgot that lesson that he taught was always include everyone and always make sure that you're looking out for everybody that you can. You can't always take care of everybody, but the ones that you can, you do. And like I said, while wildly embarrassing in high school, I get it now. You know what I mean? So, props to my pop. He's a good man.
Yeah, we've talked about him before. He sounds cool. And I don't. When I say I don't know what the word father means, it's from brain damage. It's not because I do have my dad, my father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both pop came along, and he never made me feel, you know, like I wasn't his kid.
Right.
But also not. I love him. He wasn't a drunk. He didn't whoop on Mama C, which. Believe you me, he wouldn't have been able to. But we're very different people. He grew up in a hard life, military household,
mm-hmm.
not exactly the most emotive man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could have used a little more of like, pull your shoulders back, hold your head up, look a man in the eye when he shake his hand. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like your dad was like that. And that's one of the reasons I wish I was out there to teach Cash about is like, you know.
Yep.
You know, that type of stuff, how to be a man, not just to be an adult male, but how to be a man,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it sounds like your dad is like really good for that.
He was.
You know, it worked out well for you.
Thanks,
it worked out well for you. Yeah. And now you're stuck editing fucking books. Oh, by the way, talk to the most amazing, the former managing editor of Penguin Random House
nice.
Yesterday.
She get into it at all?
No, she's okay. The end of February, because I was a week late for when we were trying to make shoot for. Right, so the end of February, I'm just going to say this, she compared the clinic on her own accord to kind of like the Next Generation Fight Club. I mean, and my penis twitched immediately. This whole thing. She said I had to plot both.
I had to dig that out and blow the dust off of it.
Man, my penis?
No, the book.
Oh. There is more than a blowable dust on this thing. There's a patina on this thing. Author. So
I'm getting ready to go under the sea, buddy.
Under the sea, cenote diving.
I'm going. I'm out.
You're in that.
1 week, buddy.
Okay, so before we get out of here, just a little something. What do we got? Oh, we literally got like 1 minute. I don't really have time to get into it.
Okay.
There's this story on The Unexplained with Dan Aykroyd, and there's this boat that sinks in the ocean, right?
Yep.
And it's got a bunch of people, crew members trapped.
Okay.
And it flips upside down, and as it before it sinks, there's this.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Yeah.
Aww.
Son of a bitch.
And it sinks. The guy ends up finding the air pocket, yep. And then it starts sinking. He sinks to the bottom of the ocean. He's down there, right? And he, like, makes this air bladder and ties himself to the one room with an air bubble. It's running out. He ends up being down there for 3 days. Divers come down there and end up finding him. One time they pass him by, and he's just down there.
Yay.
And they end up pulling him out and rescuing him and saving him. And, and then they have video of them discovering them. And it just makes you think, no matter how bad life is, if you're not stuck at the bottom of the sea in an upside down boat, you're doing all right. So on behalf of myself, my bestie, Jay Dizzle, Mama C, and all you amazing people out there who listen, we love you. And we are gone.
We go.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com. And follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.